this for my culture, 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 culture. Peace and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for riding with me for the second hour, folks. As we continue the conversation about Miss Bette Midler, who got women all across the country like, girl, what? What did you just say? Yup, that's how women talk. Girl, what? No, women don't talk like that. You're so sexist, Faraji. No, we don't talk like that. Every woman doesn't have a high-pitched voice, Faraji. I get it. Okay, it was a bad joke. But look, folks, this is not a joke. Miss Bette Midler put out a tweet, and then she decided to remove the tweet because it sparked so much controversy. The tweet said, women are the N-word of the world. Woo! As she kind of quoted a line from the John Lennon Yoko Ono song from 1972. But she's essentially saying, look, man, women have gone through so many different things. It's like women are the, she ends her tweet, they are the most disrespected creatures on earth. But there seems to be a miscommunication because people are upset with Miss Midler about using the N-word as part of this analysis about the status of women. So I want to get your thoughts on it. You know, do you think she's right? She's wrong? What's your take? All right, let's go back to the lines. We got folks that want to check in. We got Miss, we have Parisa on the line. New caller checking in from Towson, Maryland.
Parisa, hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. So Parisa, talk to me. What do you think that Bette Midler is off or she's right on point?
All right. So, well, I'm white, so it's a little bit hard for me to understand really how it would even be offensive, only because I think it's a spot-on analogy. People try and draw like a distinction between sexism and racism, and I don't really think there's any difference at all.
There's no difference. Now, you know what? I have a colleague that says that sexism is deeper than racism in America.
I'd say probably just because it's global, right? I mean, like, millions of women are still enslaved today in sex trafficking, and it's actually the fastest growing industry in the world.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that should be concerning to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So is it just a choice of words from Ms. Midler at this point, Parisa? Or are we folks just not understanding the level of disrespect that women endure?
I think that we have yet to actually understand that, and like, because it's such a part of our identity to be the subjugated sex, that men and women have internalized it as well, that they are essentially almost non-human. Like, man is a human person, and a woman is the other. A woman was here for them. So we haven't even been able to, or allowed really, to think of ourselves as people with equal rights, because that was never something we were taught was possible for us.
You know what? It's so interesting that you mentioned that, Parisa, because, you know, I think about the traditional teaching of to young girls, right? That young girls should be made pretty, of course. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
But then more importantly, it's like the culturally, young girls should prepare themselves for marriage. Should prepare themselves to be taken care of. Young girls should see themselves as, you know, like they need to live in a glass house, a glass case of some sort, right? And so how these cultural teachings really have played out. And I'm starting to see there has been some challenge to these cultural teachings.
Well, hopefully by now. I mean, God, yeah, because that's where it starts. As soon as you're born, you know, you come out, they stick a bow on your head, stick some earrings on you, and you're only there to be a decoration,
wow,
an accessory, pretty, nothing else.
Mm.
And that's all that's ever mattered about us, really. The way we look, can you carry a child, or are you going to cook and clean for me? I mean, what's a, something you keep in the house and force to cook and clean for you? That's, I mean, like, my grandmother was a 9-year-old child bride, white.
Wow.
You know, that's slavery.
Wow. Wow.
So, I mean, she was bought and sold, you know, sold off to a 30-year-old man, and that was the end of it.
So, I mean, that's a very that's a powerful story in itself, Parisa.
Well, that was in another country, yes. But, I mean, this is worldwide, and, you know, they've got the female genital mutilation highly prevalent in a lot of countries in Africa. It's just so many different ways that sexism is ingrained in almost every culture today.
Are you optimistic about what we're seeing here in this country and what's happening all across the country? Are you optimistic that women are finally asserting their, tapping into their power, asserting their authority, asserting and embracing their femininity and womanhood in a way that's empowering? Are you optimistic about it?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's one thing that I wish that people would pay more attention to, and that's kind of the media. Like, the fact that we can still turn on the radio and almost every song, or rap song anyway, is talking about us being B words and hoes and stuff like that. I mean, that's the same as if a white person were on the radio saying the N word. Is it not? I mean, that's
it still dehumanizes the individual. So in that respect, yes.
Name that men gave to us, and now are you calling us in a derogatory fashion? We didn't pick that. We didn't ask to be called anything like that. And the fact that it's 2018 and people are still freely and openly using that language in on our radios, on our TV, like, come on. What are we teaching our kids?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Parisa, I thank you so much for checking in and being a part of this conversation, checking in from Towson, Maryland. Let's go to William. William out of Baltimore. William, thank you so much for your great patience. What's your take, William?
What's up, Black? Peace.
Hey, peace, brother. How you doing?
I'm going to try to go back to the beginning where when I first heard this today, right?
Yeah.
The first thing I thought about was, first of all, bet if she was sitting down talking to me, I understand exactly what you're saying, because the Latinos was the Negroes of the time. The Irish was that, then the Koreans was the Negroes before the Latinos, and so forth. So the analogy, metaphor, whatever you want to say, was connected who's doing the worst and treated the bad, who's being treated the worst or whatever. But here's my thing. How many Negroes, because this is a problem of another sign, proof of emphatic degeneration of the mind. How many people, Negroes, knew who Bette Midler was or is? How many people, Negroes, know about the Beatles? My thing is, anybody speaking up out of the 60s and 70s was ill because they were speaking out and he was grounded in logic. Now, it's attached to this feminist thing. That's the thing to talk about now. Brother Darren was right on point, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is something? What's the cause of the thing? And what we got to remember, too, Sister Scheherazade Ali said that this feminist movement was a finishing blow to society, but specifically to the Negro community. Dr. The Honorable Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, rest her emphatic soul, listen to what she says about feminism and read her book while she was trying to talk to Negroes back when we was in the African-centric movement at Morgan State University. We have moved away from order, and what we don't realize is that the war ain't against Al-Qaeda, feminism, women trying to do everything or whatever, because equality ain't 50-50. It's an attack on the man, woman, and child on the surface of the earth, void of color and race and religion. So all you got to do is get somebody with some passion going, and all this N-word stuff sounds ridiculous because everybody becomes socially, politically grounded when they're using the N-word on the radio, or they ask to talk about it on the radio, but on their everyday, like you said, brother, with these sisters calling each other the B word and so forth. Not too long ago, when Queen Latifah was doing, bringing Mama Zulu ramen and everything, we used to, on campus, refer to the women as sisters. They used to refer to us as brothers. So the N-word is being used, but now it's, oh, it's, I gotta, and Negroes getting all upset about this word. It's fraudulent, man. That word don't bother you. Bette Midler was just another white woman. Ask the next, when you leave work today, brother, the next person you see that's probably under 40, ask them who's Bette Midler.
Right.
Before the statement.
Right.
They don't know. They're not vested. The intellect ain't being, we got to stop accommodating passion and make sure that our, especially our girls, are empowered by logic and reasoning so that they can develop their discernment power and don't wind up 15 years old in a room with a boy drinking. Mm. What would her nana say about that, brother?
Mm. Empowered by logic and reason. Mm.
You lay down with dogs for rod,
yeah.
Go get up with fleas, black. No woman, and that girl, that the lady talking about her mother was, grandmother was married off at 9 and so forth. We too easily talk about and identify things we might not understand, but there's a reason for things happening. And for rod, I'm going to say this now. I got a female child, black. I challenge anybody, man or woman, to come at her with this nonsense I'm hearing on the air. You're going to walk away crying. And yeah, when she came out, she had earrings, pretty little bow, because she's beautiful. Challenge her to a debate. You get your forehead pushed in. You hear me?
I hear you,
logic
William.
And reasoning.
Order, logic and reasoning.
Sequence. Man, woman got a role, like they on the team. We wearing the same jersey, play the game, like where the coach say.
Stop
picking out all the wrong stuff and then trying to paint the stroke the whole easel or what have you, man. This is ridiculous. Hey, and this last thing. Let's get back to the topics like you had yesterday with the geopolitical and social stuff, man. Enough of this nonsense with this N-word and this foolish passion, man. Let's get on something so we can draw up that intellectual span of ours and start developing the scientists, men and women, and start creating stuff and getting the mindset going, all of this Oprah TV-worthy nonsense, black. Y'all have a good one.
Hey, William, thank you so much for checking in from Baltimore. Wow. Donna, what you got to say? I'm getting a mouthful a day. I'm getting it in right now, Donna.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, come on, Donna. You know we can hear you loud and clear. Let's go.
Well, before Dick Gregory passed away, I think the last maybe 10 years of his life, he talked about the first ends were people who did not look like us. And he said because he learned that going on a field trip with a bunch of white males, and he said, and the white males told him, he was young at that time, he always told that story. I'm not sure if the audience, he may even written about it, but he said that the males told him, you know, the first end, you all think you are the first ends, but he said, you are not the first ends. The original ends were, and they said, our people, our women. And Dick Gregory repeated that, and he talked about it when he would come on different talk shows about the true, you know, how the white males would call their own women that word, or it was assumed that they already knew it. So in the white community, among white women, they're not as worried. And so black women, because we don't know the history of where that word came from and who it really was directed to at the time it was created, we're thinking it was created and directed towards us, but it wasn't. And Dick Gregory elaborated, and I actually did some research and found out exactly what he was saying was true. So I mean, the research is there where the origins of the word came from and who it started, who was it used against.
Mm-hmm.
Another point is, when we deal with the empowerment of black women, for example, one of the mistakes our mothers make and our grandmothers make is they pamper and namby-pamper boys.
Mm.
And they pamper and they almost like they feminize our boys because they feel they have to protect them from what happened to us in slavery. And they push the girls out there mean and nasty. And sometimes our mothers can be harder on the girls because unconsciously I think they feel I have to prepare them for the outside world. And what
Absolutely.
They do is make the females more angry because now we're out the outside world. And, you know, our mothers have already, made us angry by how they, you know, treated us or how they, because when, mothers can be very sexist against their daughters because they'll tell their daughters, for example, in my case, my mother would always say, okay, get ready. She would call and say, get tables ready to set for dinner. Now, here I got three classes I'm taking in college, and I have a brother who was, he had no classes that day, and she's telling me when I'm still at school, that when I get home, I have to set the table and get the food started. But my brother's being home, so I used to confront her with that, and we went to battle because I said, Mom, you're being sexist. Mm. And she was like, what? And the whole point is, mothers, a lot of mothers portray and use that, misogynistic behavior. Your role is to do this. The boys take the trash out, the girls set the table and wash the dishes. So I was always challenging her that that behavior is counterproductive for young girls and women.
Real.
I think I was very unproductive then.
Yeah.
And so I was a little bit before my time, but when as a little girl growing up with your mother, you know, putting roles based on gender, I had a problem with that. So I'm not surprised what Beth Mizell said. It's a history or historical word that white women and other women, European women, know. It's the black women and women of color who did not know the history or who was actually called that word before we were actually called. And Dick Gregory did elaborate on many of his talks and his speeches where he would call talk shows where he would have, you know, events where he invited. So people need to maybe pull up some of his work because he did discuss that, that same topic. So this is not unusual. And I'm not offended because as a whole, the way the European males have looked at women, period, they look at us as the way that word was created and its origin.
That's very true. Hey, Donna, thank you so much. Let's go to Miss Judy out of Northwest Baltimore. Wow. Getting that historical context tonight, folks. Miss Judy, I know you got something to say. Miss Judy? You know how you pump up a caller? You thinking you about to get the power? And then the call drops. Like, I know you got something. Hello? Hello? All right, Miss Judy, make sure you hit us back. Let's go to Gene out of Pikesville. Gene, what's your take, sir?
Hey, Faraji, how you doing? Happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday. Hey, Gene, it's a happy Friday.
Yeah, I know, man. But I'm going to leave that one alone because that after Kavanaugh and stuff, we don't even talk about drinking no beers and stuff. So anyway.
Okay, all right, Gene, so what you thinking? Miss Bette Midler.
I'm go back to Wim, Brother Muhammad, and so forth. It's like now, remember, please, people, remember that the Me Too movement was kicked off by Sister Oprah Winfrey.
No.
Wasn't it?
No, sir.
Who was it kicked off by, brother?
This woman who I had the great honor and privilege of working with, her name is Tarana Burke out of New York City.
So, a black woman, about 10 years ago. Okay, so Oprah co-opted it.
This is black media. We don't talk bad about Oprah, Gene.
Yes, we do. So this is now. Remember when Oprah kicked it off? What? At the I forget what award it was. No.
She did Time's Up. I just want to clarify a couple of things. Oprah did the Time's Up. She was serving as an advocate when she got that award.
Okay.
She was kind of pushing that out there.
That's okay. You know, correct me, please.
No problem. And I just want to, for our listeners, Alyssa Milano decided to use, that's the young lady from the old show, Who's the Boss?
Right.
Alyssa Milano decided to use that hashtag MeToo. But MeToo was a platform for black and brown women to talk about their pain of being sexually assaulted.
That's why I call you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, so, in my interpretation, Oprah helped to kick this thing off.
Oh, yeah.
Can I say helped?
Yeah, you could definitely say helped. Yes, sir.
Okay, she helped kick it off. And what she received was the Cecil B. DeMille's Award, the the Racist White Supremacist Award. Okay, so that's where I'm coming from. It's like we have to be careful about, you know, when things get started, how they get started, go to somebody who's knowledgeable, get the information, and then we could begin the conversation. And so this is my point. Bette Midler says something, they are just like the N-word.
She said women are the N-word of the world. And she was quoting Yoko Ono from 72.
Okay, which is okay. And it's from Yoko Ono. Now, if you go to the Philippines and you go to Thailand, you can go to Thailand and you can lease a woman on daily, weekly, monthly. yearly.
Absolutely.
And they, you know, so that's their status. There's no such prostitution isn't illegal. They don't call it prostitution. They call it leasing a woman. And that's the woman's status. She has the ability to set a price for herself and so forth and so on. In the Philippines, they are exported throughout the Middle East for that same purpose.
Sure.
That's a job. You know, so in Asia, generally, this is how women are looked upon. Asians are how many billions of people in China, et cetera? So we're talking about more than half of the world population look at women as if they are, whatever, second-class citizens,
pieces of property,
et cetera. Yep. Europeans do basically the same thing. Remember, it was 1868 when the newly freed Africans got the right to vote, the African males, right?
Mm-hmm.
The African women and the white women didn't get the right to vote until 1920. So, you know, what the women are saying is basically true. And so they have to look out for each other. My point is we have to be careful because Sojourner Truth and what was the white lady's name who was in the movement for women's suffrage? I can't think of her name. God bless her. But anyway, they split up, just like Frederick Douglass and can't think of the other guy who was the leader of the movement to free slaves. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Our agenda should be our agenda as black people. You know, so we should be in every group in black America who wants to be free. Are separatists. All white people are separatists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word that we are most afraid of, in my opinion, is to be separatist or separate ourselves from other people and to be of a like-mindedness. And as Malcolm said, we're like children. We're so much like children who want to leave home. What time did you leave home, Faraji? How old were you?
Oh, my goodness.
So it's time for black folks to leave the white man's house, right? And that's my point. All this talk about white women, et cetera, my thing is like, we talk about Michael Jackson. What about us?
What about us, Gene? I got to let you go.
God bless you, man.
Hey, God bless you. Have a great weekend. Gene from Pikesville checking in. Let's go to Miss Judy. Gene says drop some knowledge. We got Miss Judy? Oh, we got to go take a break. Miss Judy, we're going to come right back to you. Roscoe, we got you. And Apache from York, Pennsylvania, checking in. Man, oh, man, who knew a conversation about women, the N-word, would get so deep? I did. I'm not even going to lie. I knew. Because it's you and it's me and it's our culture. But we're going to continue the conversation for a few minutes. Plus, also in the next 30, we're going to get you kicked off, get you excited about homecoming weekend here at Morgan State University. Talk a little bit about sports. Talk a little bit about what's happening on campus. And I'm going to give you an opportunity for you to check in and talk to us about what year you represent in Morgan State. Huh? What class were you? I want you to call up and tell me what your class was. Shout out people. All that good stuff. Stay riding with us. Last 30 is coming up right here on For the Culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back, folks.
I do this for my culture.
Welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. All right, we've been having a very, very spirited, historical conversation about Ms. Bette Midler and her controversial tweet. We still got a couple of folks that want to chime in, get the final thoughts out. Let's go to Roscoe out of Northeast Baltimore. Roscoe, what's your take on this?
Yeah, how you doing, Faraji?
I'm good, Roscoe.
Listen,
how are you?
I know time is a factor, so I'll be brief. I just want to reiterate what a sister, I think her name was Sister Evelyn, said to you.
Uh-huh.
And she said that, and she so confidently said to you, by the way, that For people that want to focus on that word, let them go ahead. She's more concerned with the message. And you know, she was so eloquent, and she was so concise in that and direct. And I just wanted to say I applaud her for saying that and being that way. And I agree with her 1,000%.
Do you think that by us focusing on the fact that word was brought up, it takes away from the larger message that Ms. Midler was trying to get across?
Yeah, and keep in mind, like you said, Ms. Bette Midler used a line that was written previously from the song. We know that.
Right.
Okay, and yeah, so it takes away from the bigger message, which is, you know, what she was trying to say, and she was trying to compare the plight of females to the plight of African ancestor people in the West. You know, so there is a legitimacy in that comparison. But we've been conditioned, and we've allowed ourselves to be so conditioned that we're supposed to freak out and get all, you know, carried away just with that word. So that was her message, and I agree with her. By the way, I don't know if you know, you're young and old enough to know, but Bette Midler, the only reason I'm saying this because I think you referred to her a couple of times as an actress.
Yeah.
Bette Midler was a world-class songstress.
Oh, she still is.
Before Hollywood attempted to utilize her to make money with her personality in Hollywood. But she was a world-class songstress.
Oh, yeah. She still is. And you know what, Roscoe? I appreciate you for checking in. I think one of the things that we really didn't key in on throughout this whole conversation is, and I think it's generational, folks. I'm going back to that point. I think it's generational. We really didn't even address the B word situation, right? So we get upset about the use of the N word, but we don't get upset about the use of the B word. I'm going to go back to that. But I think that's generational. And, you know, we don't have the time today, but I think I need to do a show on how now this generation of young folks, whether they're black or white or Asian, like, have we allowed certain things that historically challenged us or has gotten us in a certain spirit and fire now that we're seeing this next generation not getting so enraged about it no more? It's like, oh, man, it's just whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can use a word, and boom, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get offended by that. And in that, allowing certain things to kind of roll off of our backs, that we lose the spirit and the passion to challenge certain things, right? Because if our grandmothers challenge things, if our great-grandmothers, our aunties, our mothers challenge certain things, I personally believe that young women and young men have a responsibility to either to make sure that fight continues or to fight it so much to the point that that's no longer on the table for us to be concerned about. It shouldn't be a situation where things continually get passed on. Like 50 years from now, my son is 5, folks. I hope and pray that 50 years from now, we're not having a conversation about the N-word. I mean, seriously. Otherwise, okay, I'm gonna even take you one better. I don't even want to wait, because, see, I ain't even trying to wait that old. 25 years from now, the N-word should not be the conversation, the cultural conversation of black people. It shouldn't be. 25 years from now? Really? We still on that? It's like, that's the stuff that I'm trying to get us, you know, to kind of really see. Because at this point, it just gets to be like, okay, so now we're just accepting the labels. Now, as much as we talk about that we want to challenge the labels and all, we've accepted some of these things. Not all of us, right? Because I've heard many of you that say, look, I don't refer to myself as this. And I get that. But we have accepted some things. We certainly have accepted some things for real. And that's what has become the real issue. That's what it become. Now, personally, I don't think that Ms. Bette Midler was trying to disparage, because she didn't say black women. She didn't say Asian. She said women. I think she used provocative language to drive the point home, right? To get people's attention. It got our attention. But it shouldn't get our attention so much other on the language as it is on the light she was trying to shed on the condition of women. That's the point, I think. That's just Faraji Muhammad's personal take on it. She was trying to shed light on the condition. You cannot tell me that women aren't raped, beaten, enslaved, worked like dumb animals, denied education and inheritance, enduring the pain and danger of childbirth and life in silence for thousands of years. You cannot tell me that they are not the most disrespected creatures on earth. You can't tell me that. You can't. If you can honestly tell me that, then guess what? I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm unfriending you, for real. Because at this point, it's like, really? In 2018, we still have these very, very real conditions and issues affecting women all across the board, all around the world. But yet, we're going to war because we can't get rid of a word. Now, they can't use it, but then we can use it? I never, ever, ever want to use that word as a term of endearment. That term was always a term or a tool to keep us in a certain mental space. And if you notice it, why can't we use the term brother, right? God, queen, sister. Why do we have to use the term of the slave master and then try to warp our thinking to justify our deceptive intelligence about a word that was used to dehumanize versus a word that was used to inspire and uplift? So that's my little take. Oh my gosh, I'm just going to read you really quickly just some of the conversation that we've had on our Facebook page. It has been absolutely just fantastic. Nubia checked in and said, the issue with the word in the N-word, or is the issue with the sentiment that she's expressing? She's asking that question. Is it the N-word or the sentiment? Black women are the most disrespected people in the world. To generalize it to all women is disrespectful. It's just like turning Black Lives Matter to All Lives Matter. There's an underlying layer of disrespect. To me, this is so much more deeper than a word. I agree with you. I agree with you on that, it is certainly deeper than that. Kevin checked in and said, I get what she said. She's just the wrong woman to say it. If I were a black woman, I'd be tired of being used as fodder for white women. No political party has a monopoly on this action. Okay. She's the wrong woman to say it, but was she wrong, though? That's my question. I mean, was she really wrong? Was she telling the truth? So I don't think telling the truth is, you have to be a certain person to tell the truth. Truth should be able to come out. I don't care if you're a five-year-old. My son sometimes will tell me something about myself, and guess what I have to do? As much as I'll be like, nah, son, you're right, son, I didn't do what I said. And the truth is, he's right. And I don't care where that truth from, even if President Donald Trump says it, folks. Even if President Donald Trump speaks one word of truth, we got to give credit to the fact that that's the truth, regardless to who says it. That's how powerful truth is. It has to be acknowledged regardless to who says it. Oh, this has been such an amazing conversation. Amazing conversation. And many of you, Valerie checked in and said, the issues and struggles and issues of black women and white women are not the same. White women only want it to be the same when white men are attacking them. Well, I think white men have been attacking white women for a long time, but I certainly agree with you. I certainly agree with you on that one, Valerie. So this has been a very, very great conversation. Look, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got Apache? We still got Apache? Oh, okay. All right, got to check in and make sure my man Apache good. All right, when we come back, get you ready for homecoming 2018. We'll tell you about all of the great things that are happening around campus. Talk about the big game that's coming up tomorrow. Homecoming is it's not just about the game anymore. It's about the celebration, the camaraderie, the family, right? We're coming home. You are Morgan Bad. This is your weekend. Stay riding with us. A whole lot coming up in the final 19 minutes of the show of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back, folks. All right, peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. All right, folks, I definitely going to switch gears and make sure that you get ready for homecoming 2018 right here at Morgan State University. Joining me in this conversation is Mr. Malik Obi. That's right. He's an author. He's a Morgan alum.
Yes, sir.
There it is. Good evening, Malik Obi. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm doing good.
All right. Let's talk about homecoming. You're talking about homecoming with notable alumni, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm talking a little bit about, first, we're going to talk about this celebration of Morgan State University. This is a big time for Morgan right now. Mm-hmm. We just came off of the 150th year. I don't even want to use the official word to describe it. It's like
Quintessential.
No, but that's 150th year, all right, of Morgan State University greatness here in the city of Baltimore. And so you want to talk to us a little bit about, you know, what can folks expect on the homecoming season? First and foremost, what year are you, what's your class year?
Well, I actually graduated with the 150th class last year.
All right, last year.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Apparently, Malik, you got a lot of fans. So you graduated. All right, so talk to us a little bit about your experience here at Morgan State University.
I had a great experience at Morgan State, especially in this building. I was given the tools to be the sports journalist that I'm progressing to be.
Yeah.
I got the experience that I wanted when I watched A Different World as a child and said I want to go to a black school.
We don't talk about no Bill Cosby related programming.
You know, I wanted to go to a black school and I couldn't pick one, and you know, I got some help and it was the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah.
Really.
So you did, and you did you have, did you decide on your own, or did you just kind of, like, I've heard some stories where students have said, hey, you know, my parents went here, my brother went here, my sister went here, therefore I went here.
I was in ROTC in high school, and I went on a tour, and I went to Hampton, and then I really wanted to go to Hampton, and then I realized it was a private school and couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And then I came here, and I was like,
story,
Malik, I came here, and I was like, wow, this is the place for me, you know. I just felt like it was a fit
it was
when
a
I
fit,
got here.
More so than Hampton.
Yeah.
I'm got to say.
No, it wasn't a second option, or plan B. It was, I was overly excited. That was the first school that we visited, and then I got to Maury and I said, okay, this is a fit for me. This is where I want to be.
Now, you're an author.
Yes, sir.
Your book is Bounce Beat Baby.
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit about this book.
So go-go music is the official sound of Washington, D.C. and its surrounding areas.
Right.
And, many people know Chuck Brown. They may know Sugar Bear and EU from the movie School Days, the song The Butt. Junkyard Band, who was signed to Def Jam. But I wanted to create a book for my generation of go-go, the people that were in high school after the year 2000. It was a slight change in the sound. And, just as in hip-hop, when it became, more gangster music-oriented, all music genres go through progressions. And this progression is one that isn't talked about because I feel as a whole that the go-go music sound is one that people haven't gotten a concrete definition of, and we don't have the documentaries and books that other music genres have.
Yeah.
In relation to music, go-go is to D.C. what grunge is to Seattle, or hip-hop was to the South Bronx when it first got started.
Yeah.
So our art form has survived more than five decades. And as D.C. is going through the changes of gentrification, I wanted to talk about, I wanted to put something tangible out there to give a perspective of someone growing up in a specific era and generation of go-go and give an overall overview of the art form. I was actually here at Morgan in 2016, I think early 2017, we went to the new African American Museum.
Yeah, in D.C.?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, it's a phenomenal space.
It's a beautiful thing. Something you can't really see in one time. And they had an exhibit there, and it was about go-go, and the premise of it was Chuck Brown, who is the godfather of go-go. He's the reason why we have it. But besides that, it was what I felt was a very broad definition and overall summary of our music in the nation's capital. So I think that we have to do a better job of using the outlets that we have to express ourselves and give people an opportunity to see and feel and experience what we have here in the D.C. and in Maryland, PG County, Virginia area.
So it's really a book that pays homage to try to preserve that history, that tradition.
Definitely.
In a new D.C.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Well, it's a really new D.C. because over the last 10 years, we've seen a rapid change in the demographics and ethnicities that have overpopulated what was once considered as Chocolate City and its surrounding areas, and that gentrification has trickled to PG County, Montgomery County, etc. And it's not just when it comes to residency. This has also affected us in the way of go-go in terms of our clubs being shut down, all of these things to make a way for new people to come in. I can't tell you how many clubs, go-go clubs that I've been to in the past that have been torn down to make way for sky-high townhouses and things of that nature. And like I said, we don't really have the representation of other art forms, or there's hundreds of books on gang culture, there's hundreds of books on hip-hop and soul and jazz, etc. We don't have those tangible outlets. We don't have those things that people can say, okay, well, I want to know more about this. And as our area is changing, our culture is being wiped out, so I want to preserve that by leaving something on this earth and encouraging others to tell their own stories, mm-hmm. and to use the media outlets that we have to create something. We don't have a documentary on go-go on Netflix.
Not yet.
But other art forms do.
You might have put that word out there, Malik.
Right.
And I hope you get some payment for that idea.
Right. Well, my plan is to use this as a stepping stone to do it myself.
There it is.
And that's why Morgan State is so important, because they've given me the tools to do these things. Yeah. I graduated with a degree in journalism, bachelor in science, but Morgan's changing with the times, so instead of just learning to write, we had to learn how to produce. We had to learn how to do audio. We had to learn how to work a camera, et cetera. So I'm using these tools to prepare myself to make this documentary, which I'll get paid six figures or better for, and I'll be able to preserve the culture that I love and to put something together that old and young can relate to. The people that were, you know, growing up in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, the people that went away to the army and brought their Rare Essence Backyard, Junkyard, etc. tapes with them and put on people from other places to this sound, to the people that aren't from the area that says, okay, well, you know, what is this? You know, yeah. let me give you a definition, and let me give you my interpretation, and let me give you what it's like from my and my generation. Like I said, every music art form has gone through generations. If you listen to rap nowadays, people say that they can't stand new rap. You know, they prefer Tupac, or they may prefer Rakim, or whatever the case may be. And that's how a lot of older people felt about our generation of go-go. But at the end of the day, it's the music and it's the culture of our entire area. And it's and no matter how many people transplants come in our area from different places and how many clubs get taken down, you can't wash away our sound, our identity. Yeah. You know, so
can't wash it away, man.
I want to be
like crabs in Baltimore. You can't wash that stuff away.
Right.
Be like, hey, man, you know, we don't have no more crabs left. That's not what's up. It's like Mambo sauce.
Right, definitely. And that's a part of our culture. That all ties into one thing. You know, when you come to D.C., you get a four-piece wings and fries, salt, pepper, ketchup, mambo sauce, and everything.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
What the hell is mambo sauce? What's in that?
Listen, man. I can't.
First thing, don't act like this is like KFC special sauce type mix, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I can't.
Just tell me,
you know,
Malik.
I can't.
I need to know. Give me the.
I can't tell you that because everybody gives it to you differently.
It's not Malik.
Yes, it is. You might go to
Baltimore. You eat. Nah. I mean, it don't make sense.
It does. It makes perfect sense. I'm
gonna let it alone because I got DC listeners.
Definitely.
I got DC listeners, so you know what I mean? If Mambo sauce is the sauce of DC, but then you have 16,000 variations of it, I'm going to just let that logic sit in DC to say it's the sauce of DC.
I won't say that it's 16,000 variations.
15,999.
You know, but every place that you go to, you're going to get something different.
Nah,
the base of it is the same,
all right.
But there's some places that are better than others.
There are some places that are better. So Bounce Beat Baby.
Yes, sir.
Try to say that four times. I like it, though. I definitely like it. So, you know, you really are like a New Day historian. You know what I mean? Because it is important for us to preserve our culture.
Right.
It's certainly highly important for it. And especially, I'm so happy that you're starting on this journey, and I really hope and pray that doors continue to open up for you.
Yes, sir.
Because that's exactly what is needed. I mean, we call the show For the Culture, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, if we're not doing our best to preserve the things that make us unique and special,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Like, I may not understand the mambo sauce, but guess what? I respect it.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? Same thing with go-go. I had to have a certain ear. I had to be in a certain mood and space. Mm-hmm. To say, okay, y'all can dig on that. You know what I mean?
You know, and
there's certain things like Baltimore. We got club music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I grew up off of club music. And so some people might say, oh, the old club music, what you talking about, K-Swift, or you talking about some of the new stuff. Or, you know, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, we just got to respect. That's people's culture, it's livelihood.
Right.
I had a conversation earlier, and we talked about Odell's, which is one of the, you know, it was a premier hotspot here in Baltimore City,
mm-hmm.
you know? And if you are anybody, you knew something about Odell's. Everybody got an Odell story if you are of a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember Odell's. Don't act like y'all don't remember Odell's. You know what I'm saying? But then there's also for the new Jacks, as they say, they got Hammer Jacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So these, I think it's absolutely important that we do our best. And I'm happy that it's from you that we're preserving our culture. Look, we got some special folks that want to check in as we talk about notable alumni. We got Malik Obi, author of the book Bounce Beat Babies. He is checking in. He's a Morgan State University grad from 2017. He's going to be just one of many notable alumni here at homecoming weekend. Let me talk to a couple of other notable alumni. We got Petra from Brooklyn and Asia from Philly. Okay, look like we got Asia from Philly.
Hey.
Hey, and Petra just left the line.
What's up, Raji?
Asia, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm living my best Baltimore Ravens life.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I'm always representing my Philadelphia Eagles, you know.
So, Asia, this is homecoming. It's a big time of year because this is really the time of year when you officially come back on campus as an alumni.
Yes.
How big of a moment is this for you?
It's pretty big. I'm glad to see all of my friends, especially since I haven't seen most of them since I graduated in May. So
Definitely
going to be good vibes and good company. So I'm really excited to see everyone and partake in all the festivities.
What's the one big thing that you would say Morgan has done for you, Asia, either personally or professionally?
I would say it prepared me for the real life outside of college, as far as like getting into the industry of work and networking. I think Morgan definitely put me in a good position to land a good job.
That's what I'm talking about. And you know what? All jokes aside, Morgan is connected to a lot of people.
Definitely.
Real talk. Keep it 103%. Morgan is connected to a lot of people. All right, let me talk to another person that's connected. Petra from Brooklyn is checking in. Petra, how are you?
I'm doing good, Faraji. How you doing?
I'm living my best BK life.
Yes, forever.
Petra, so this is homecoming weekend. How excited are you about homecoming this weekend?
I mean, I'm really excited because I'm coming back as, like, an alumna, so it's just different. It's just like a whole different vibe, you know. I get to see all my friends, get to see the professors that I truly enjoy. And I also get to see you guys because, you know, you guys are like the stepping stone for me into, like, you know, real world, like media and everything like that.
We are. We definitely are. So you can – I'll give you my address to send all of the proceeds and residuals from your success. We can stay connected because you and Asia – Y'all did phenomenal work with us here on For the Culture, but I'm really, really excited that you guys are in a different space now that you graduated. I'm really upset that you used the proper English to describe yourself, alumna, instead of alumni, and I didn't use alumna. I said alumni, so I'm a little upset with myself about that one.
Graduated, but not that little money thing with the proceedings. That's just gonna have to come in the next couple of years. Because it's real hard out here.
Yeah, it's real hard.
It's hard.
Let me just tell you, Petra, adulting is real. Let me just tell you that adulting is real. If no one has ever told you something, the realest thing I can ever tell you as an adult is that it's very real. So I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time with us tonight, Petra, and we look forward to seeing you.
No problem.
All right?
Okay.
Malik
Thank
Obi.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Malik Obi,
yes.
My man. Bounce Beat Babies. Is that real? Baby. He says, no, brother, it's Bounce Beat Baby.
Yeah.
How can people get a copy of this book, brother?
Okay, it's actually an ebook available on iTunes, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Scribd if you are an app user.
Yeah.
Pretty much every outlet for reading. You can find me on Twitter at OBEE, the number one, the letter N as in Nancy, E. OB1, like Obi-Wan Kenobi. And my name is Malik Obi again.
There we go. Malik Obi checking in. Upcoming author, doing some great things, doing his part to preserve the culture. Malik, thank you so much for being good for the culture, brother.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here on Homecoming Weekend. Thank you so much for such a great, powerful, spirited conversation. Look, for my folks that checked in with us online, I thank you all for your consistency, but more importantly, your support for the culture online. The conversation, the comments are absolutely phenomenal. I want to thank my dynamic production team. This Mallory Pinker Pierre, Alex Blanc, my production assistants, Jalen and Daryl, and Drayday for making me sound so good tonight. Stay tuned. Up next is In the Groove with LaDawn Black, giving you that cool jazz to get you ready for homecoming 2018. And of course, as always, Baltimore, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong, stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. Make sure you continue to support us digitally. Make sure you check us out on For the Culture on our For the Culture 88.9 on Facebook and Instagram. Download and check out all the latest podcasts on WEAA.org for the Culture. All your updated podcasts are there for your listening pleasure. So make sure you do that. All right, I look forward to talking to you next week. Got a whole lot to talk about next week. We're going to continue to bring you those special guests. And most importantly, we're going to continue to create a platform just for you. All right, that's going to all happen on next week here on For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. And remember, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.